Welcome to a new installment of In My Shoes, the only inspirational podcast there is. My name is Chester. And don't forget to head over to the Instagram page to see the many faces behind all the voices of each guest. The handle is In My Shoes 7422. Again, that's In My Shoes 7422. Today on the show, I am pleased to be in the company of the man himself, the great Harold Bali. Mr. Bali is a former student of the secondary school I frequently promote ever on the show, Trinity College East. Mr. Bali also currently resides in Canada, so quite excited to learn about that experience. Mr. Bali, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be on the show, Chester. And God bless. Today we really need God's blessings.
Indeed. Firstly, tell us, how was your time at TCE?
I can give the truthful answer, or I can give the one that everybody wants to hear.
You be 100% authentic.
Yeah. To say the least, going to Trinity was a serious eye-opener.
How so?
It has left me changed, in a way that I view the world differently. And that difference in view has actually helped me navigate today.
And what ways?
In the ways I look at the world, the way I judge people, the way I perceive it, the way I move forward.
Yes.
Yeah. As with all schools, there's always the good times, there's always the bad times, and then there's the time that you really don't want to go back to school because it was just that bad for you that day. So
yeah.
Those are the, yeah.
What was your favorite subject in school?
For me, I found my favorite subject was information technology, and that was mainly because I didn't have to really engage with the teachers as much. I was kind of teaching myself the entire thing throughout all my information technology studies while at the school.
To say the least,
information technology-based classes were my favorite because I didn't really have to be forced to do the information or anything like that. It just came second nature, and sometimes when you end up learning something that somebody doesn't know, and you're trying to further your understanding about it, you don't like that. So, that was something I also had to
learn. From the outside, because there was a Spanish teacher who asked a native Spanish speaker from one of my classes a question, and when he answered, she looked at him like, "What? You're not supposed to know that."
I remember that incident. A teacher get vexed. Not only just any kind of vex, she get vexed to the point is like, how dare you steal her thunder from her just because you happen to know something that she hasn't taught yet, or something like that. That is the biggest problem in education, that the people who teach on the subject, when a student who has an inquisitive mind ends up learning something or is teaching something themselves that is not on the subject matter but is a different way of doing what is being taught.
Yes.
And they refuse to teach them, and like turn that student into a black sheep, and then have the students do the same thing. That destroys those people.
Yes.
I'm speaking from first-hand experience. I'm speaking from first-hand experience about it.
Okay.
A lot of subjects were like that.
I'm guessing because of that one incident change your point of view on all teachers.
It's not that one incident. It's that incident. The incident itself.
Yes.
Repeated itself. So like every teacher who ended up seeing that he's picking up on what I'm not teaching, but they were forced to learn because it was the easy, more intuitive way to do it, but the more harder way to do it if you have a logical way of doing things.
So, okay.
It's a bit of a conundrum when you have to look in the face of, like, that student who's, like, getting what you couldn't get, like, academically wise, in terms of like understanding it, and it's like, I'm not gonna help that.
Oh.
Like, that's the active choice that was made.
Okay.
And it's unfortunate, but like, at the same time, they had to do their jobs because they were forces like, this is what we're teaching in the curriculum. We can't go and teach something else like that. And that being the crutch in which you, like, skirt your responsibilities of being an actual teacher is another thing on the whole. So we can get away from teachers and schools and all that other stuff because, honestly, with education, it has to be the presentation of the information for the absolute absorption of the information.
Yeah.
It has to be...
When you said that you enjoyed one of your classes because we got to basically be self-taught in that class, I thought you were talking about technical drawing.
Let me correct you there. Information technology, right?
Yes.
The overall scope of that subject matter, in terms of the classes that were related to it, with the programming, IT technical and the IT practical, your respective form 4 and form 5 classes. Those specific classes, those classes related to technology, like the understanding of the systems and the programming. Now, in my case, I naturally adapted and learned to, like, function in those environments. And those environments themselves, by nature, are meant to be as efficient as possible. If there's an easier way to do something, it's meant to be done because it's going to take less time. And because of the way I am, that's the reason why, like, I found those subjects easier, because I was able to at some point in time, or in this case, instinctively teach myself certain subject matters and theories that were not being taught in the curriculum.
Yes.
Right, for various subject matters that helped me in things like mathematics, right?
Yeah.
But it also hindered me because that theory that I was learning on my own instinctually was not being taught, and when I questioned about it, it was being told, no, learn what we're doing, right? Not learn what's easiest to you.
But right? That's how we learn, though. Like, if you're homeschooled, I'm planning to homeschool my children when I have. But if
I would say homeschooling is a mistake.
Why?
Because there's no social interaction.
Yes, yeah, it is.
I would say, when I say social interaction, I'm saying social interaction beyond that of your control. Because when you're homeschooled, your parents are the ones who are interacting with you socially. It's your immediate neighborhood. It's the people that they allow you to go see, and things of that nature. But when you're in a school, it could be someone on the other side of the country. It could be the neighbor that shouts all the time. It could be the quote ragamuffin, right?
That your
parents don't like because, quote, he is a dogla. So, like, you know what? So that is what I mean. Because of the control, the confinement of control, like, that ability of control within that environment is not the best thing. For me, I see the best way to see anything in real life and how it functions is through a little bit of chaos into it. Let it do its thing, right?
Yes.
And let it function without that control, because without that control, that's when the real test begins. That's when you really see things go and how things work out.
We are moving on to 6 minutes over time, this was fun. This was a little catching up moment. So let me go for a break now, and we'll be right back with the topic at hand. Stay with us.
Do you need a bit of inspiration? Well, you've come to the right place. In My Shoes is a place where we discuss the goals, accomplishments, and struggles faced by ordinary people like you.
Welcome back to In My Shoes. Remember that this is the only inspirational podcast there is. Now, before the break, we were kind of talking about Mr. Bali's experience during his time in Trinity, and we kind of catch up too, but we're back and let's get to it. Mr. Bali, what were your emotions leaving Trinidad?
Relief.
Expand.
I was relieved to be out. That's all I could really say. That's all that. Yeah.
You're in Canada right now, so I should ask, is Canada still under quarantine?
Yes. We're about to go into a fourth stage of lockdown.
Wow. Right now, at the time of this recording, we are experiencing our second stage of lockdown. Did you have any anxiety about going to Canada? Why? Okay, could you tell the audience what's going on outside of your house in Canada? Is the police patrolling a lot?
Which I see as seriously irresponsible.
Yeah.
For me, I haven't really changed any of my habits because I more or less keep to myself. And for everything that's going on, not to toot my own horn here, but I actually saw this thing coming from a mile away.
Yes.
And to say this thing, to say this is not saying it lightly, right? I mean, I actually saw this thing coming from a mile away. From 6 months before the Canadian elections. There was a dismissal of a Chinese researcher from one of the viral labs. And 6 months after the Canadian elections, there was the COVID-19 outbreak.
Oh.
During that time, Canada and France were told by the U.S. not to go to participate in the military games that China was going to be hosting, because the U.S. is not going to be going, because the U.S. had reports of some unknown virus outbreak taking place in China. And the U.S. said, it's hey, we don't want this coming back, and all this other stuff.
Really? Yeah.
That's the reason why they're not going. Canada and France still sent their people. Their people came back sick.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. That's when
this stuff first hit here. We weren't told nothing. And then things continued. And then we have a massive outbreak in three major areas. North America, Europe, and China. That's not a coincidence to my understanding, from the way I looked at it. When I say I saw this thing coming from a mile away, I literally saw this thing coming from a mile away from the news and what's going on. I listened.
Oh, okay. So, let's get back focus now. Because I have a lot more questions about China and COVID and the Americas and Canada being separated merely by a border. Let's get to this. How would you introduce the cryptocurrency?
Well, let's go all the way back.
Okay.
Cryptocurrency, I was introduced to that just after leaving Trinity. And I did not want to work for my parents. So I was looking online in terms of ways to make money, and I found out about Bitcoin and And it was like doing some surveys, paying you out in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I was doing it for like a few days, and like it's like, ooh, I was excited, and it's like there's no value in it because like how am I gonna pay my parents, whatever. No. It's like, so I abandoned it, left it alone, and this was right around the time when the Volkswagen Clean Diesel, they were talking about it, promoting it and all this stuff, so this was right around 2009, right around then.
Okay.
So, eventually, like, because of that, I didn't see any worth in it, and like, I completely, like, destroyed, got rid of the password and all this other stuff. And then a few years later, I come up to Canada. I find out more about Bitcoin. Like, I hear about it again. I ended up building a mining rig. And, like, I had it on mining because I was actually going to school at this point in time. And, like, I just had that computer there sitting mining as well as my laptop. And I decided to go to, like, this investment place to like, talk about looking to get investments. And I asked them about Bitcoin, and they said, no, this is some kind of FOMO thing, and it's going to die off, and right? Like, it's never going to survive. So, like, I ended up having to, like, wipe out everything on the computer. So there goes a few hundred coins. Right? Like... And then I end up selling the computer to a buddy in Trinidad there. Mind you, like, this computer, even though it's, what, nine years old now?
Yeah.
Inching on 10, that thing could still pump out a few US dollars worth of Bitcoin today.
Okay.
And for a 9-year-old computer, that's some serious financial output on a thing that old. But, so, I've been scared out of Bitcoin a few times, right? And I finally got back into it recently, and, like, if I held it on to, like, every single coin before I didn't destroy any of those coins or taking those coins out of circulation, because of my own willingness to, like, go on the advice of others at that point in time, but, like, at that same time, I never really put any thought into it. So, it is what it is. But... in January, like since the pandemic, I haven't really taken a look at into cryptocurrency, because before that, like, before the pandemic, I had opened up a cryptocurrency account, and this was in order to try to get some stuff, and it's like, oh, damn, I can't get the credit card, so I kind of left it, and it's like, then one of the coins that I had had a crash and switched it over, and then it was an interesting experience. I kind of like doodled with some money. It's not a lot in terms of playing around on the market before the pandemic, but like recently, since this January, I really decided to turn myself onto crypto. And with approximately $4,000 spread over between January till now, so like in the second week of January, I've turned that $4,000 into just shy of $12,000, so just around $11,000 and something. I really don't know what the price is right now, but, and that's because I decided to actually just spend some more time reading about these areas. Now, cryptocurrency is a really interesting thing in the fact that, yes, they're you're saying it's a store of value and you are having custody of your own financial earnings and your own money and stuff like this, money that you can mine on your own computer and it doesn't have to be printed. But there's a few things that you kind of have to watch out for. It's like these a lot of these projects, whatever you're putting your money into, you have to look at it. It's like, is there a use case for this? Do I believe in it? You can't be just jumping on some random bandwagon. That's how you get burned.
Okay.
Literally burned.
Okay.
I would say though, with crypto,
yeah.
I have seen some serious returns that I can use within such a little amount of time. But the really unique thing about crypto is what's going on with Cardano and what they're doing in Africa with bringing the education system online.
Yes.
This is what cryptocurrency is.
Oh.
It's bringing validity to unvalidated assets.
Okay.
So a person's education is an asset. The stuff that they have, the money that they have, the everything is an asset, and none of that is categorized or logged, and cryptocurrency allows this to be done and verified anywhere. So, yes, there is a use case for it. As for me, on my journey, I should have paid a lot more attention, did a lot more reading. Having decided to spend that time now and seeing the returns on it, I'm not looking back.
Cool. I'm listening to you talk throughout this thing, and I'm just thinking, like, it seems like just last week I saw you in Tanapuna. We are 6 minutes over time, so we'll go for a break now. And when we come back, you'll talk to us about blockchain. Cool?
Yep. Sure.
This is In My Shoes. My name is Chester. I'm here with my good friend, Mr. Howell Bailey. We'll be right back.
Do you need a bit of inspiration? Well, you've come to the right place. In My Shoes is the place where we discuss the goals, accomplishments and struggles faced by ordinary people like you.
And we are back for the last segment. Mr. Bali, would you like to welcome the audience back?
Welcome back, everyone.
Tell us now, how does your blockchain wallet work?
The way a digital wallet is I don't even truly understand as much as it is, but what I do understand is that you are keeping a record of a ledger in your custody, and that ledger has value, right?
Yes.
And because there's less and less of them around, and less of them in circulation, it also means their value will also go up. That's my brief understanding. However, because of my level of ignorance, I have decided to start reading on the projects in which I'm putting money into. At this point in time, I do have what is called a hot wallet and a cold wallet.
The difference between
the two is that a hot wallet is something that's stored on your phone and not a physical it's not a physical device, right?
Yes.
Now that is subject to hacking, right?
Okay.
Because it's on that physical device connected to a network. And now, the cold wallet is something that's immune to that, so it's, like, not able to connect to the internet and things of that nature. And a few of our other security features. But currently, I have my assets on the exchange that I'm using. It is not the wisest thing to do. But the reason why I currently have my assets on the exchange is that the exchange that I'm using is fairly secure. They're insured for the most part. But the most important thing is that I see the live value of my tokens, that I can sell them immediately, right? Also, I can have them staked to earn the tokens as well. In this case, like Bitcoin, where Bitcoin is, there's only so much Bitcoin out there. I can stake my Bitcoin to get more Bitcoin, right? And where Bitcoin is increasing in value, that is money that you'd be earning. So that's interest in a bank, right? That if you're staking your Bitcoin on the exchange, your interest might be about 2%. That might be the same 2% that you may get at a bank right now. But you need to take this into account. The value of Bitcoin is going up. So even if I'm getting 2% Bitcoin, right? And I may have been getting 2% in the bank. That's just 2% of the money that's in the bank of that asset. But whereas Bitcoin, I'm getting 2% of Bitcoin, but the value of Bitcoin is going up. So I'm not just getting 2% of my dollar value. I'm getting 2% plus whatever the increase or decrease of Bitcoin is. That's the reason why I currently have my funds on the exchange, is that I can liquidate my funds, move them around however I need to, as I need to, as well as I can stake them to have them earning to get more, instead of having them sitting down doing nothing.
Okay.
So essentially, with cryptocurrency, you can operate as your own financial institution as well.
How so?
Giving you full custody of where your assets are going and how it is being spent, right? That's what these coins are. They aren't just like something of value. That each one of them has something behind it, as in Ethereum is has smart contracts, right?
Yes.
And also a bunch of other projects that are being built onto. I do not know much about Ethereum.
Okay.
I know Bitcoin is a store of value, and there's only so much that could be that exists of it. I did know that at one point in time, Ethereum was also deflationary, and in this case, it was able to be minted, but that has now stopped with EIP 1559, right? So Ethereum essentially is becoming another store of value, because Ethereum has, well, Ethereum has a lot going on. Also, another coin that's going up right now is BNB, whereas the Ethereum has their smart contracts and their fees are ridiculous. So there's that surge that's going to be going over to BNB, and then you have the issues that are going to be the breakthroughs that Cardano is making. So there's going to be those surges in Cardano. So like, these projects, even though yes, it's money, like you're putting into them that you can be used to trade for certain other things, like such as there's a coin called Mana that's used to purchase quote digital land for when we decide to create a virtual space for virtual advertisement, for when people have augmented reality glasses.
Okay.
Things of that nature. And, like, for when you purchase items on the PlayStation Network or the Xbox Network or the Nintendo Network, and it's for a limited time only, blockchain allows a verified number of them to say it's like, oh, it's first edition, second edition, third edition, whatever, however many of these, also creating a value for those items, those digitized items that you can then resell at a later time for more money, as it is, instead of having developers go in, change key things about this unique item that was released for whatever, for however long, just for like a promo, instead of it was like, oh, it's a continual promo that continues to value in price, and it's like, oh, we can add another add-on to this game, and so on and so on and so on, right? So it's like another way of adding value to other things. So like the non-fungible tokens is another marketplace that's booming too. So even with your channel, there's I believe it's called Audia, where online content creators are being compensated for the creation of their content when their viewers are viewing their things. AIOZ is the decentralized version of YouTube, where people are being compensated for the videos that they are creating and posting other people's videos as well as doing the encoding and other things like that. So it's a bunch of things that are going on. So the projects that I'm invested in are the decentralization of the internet. So web 2.0, or are we on web 3.0? I'm not entirely sure. But in an instance like that, that's where I'm putting my money into, where Bitcoin is a store of value. Yes, that's all fine and dandy. I'm deciding to move my things into a part of the evolving internet.
Okay, you've spoken for this entire segment, and I have other questions. Let me just ask them quickly. does all stores in Canada rely on digital currency?
In the sense of what we know as digital currency, as cryptocurrency, no. However, if we want to look at it in terms of the dollar value in your bank account, yes. However, there is a nice, interesting piece of information that has been going around that a few stores, Walmart in particular, has purchased about $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. So,
wow.
It's not in a sense that right now they're accepting it. Some stores are.
Yes.
Some stores are getting ready to.
Okay.
And then some exchanges are taking the cryptocurrency off the exchange, so they're putting it into cold storage.
Okay.
Therefore, spiking the price of the cryptocurrency. So right now, with what's going on, it's a matter of not if, it's a matter of when.
And what you say? Digital currency is the new dollar note.
Well, it has been since we decided to use computers for banking.
Yeah.
And we took the dollar off of the gold standard. So, when those two things coincided, right?
Yeah.
Is when money became digitized.
Oh.
So, in the 80s, no. We were taken off the gold standard in the 70s. So, in the early 70s.
Yeah.
If you look at the chart when computers were now being also used, even if they were being punch cards, and all those things happened, that's when you could see the price of the dollar.
Increase.
See the price of the dollar buying you less and less, and how it went.
Okay. Remember you said that your wallet, your digital wallet, is on your phone.
Yeah.
So what happens in the scenario when you lose your phone and a bad person finds it, do you lose your money as well?
Depending on how you have it stored. So, if you have it, like for me, I have it stored on the exchange, right? So that's slightly different. So if you have it stored on a wallet, right?
Yeah.
And your wallet is on the phone and somebody steals your phone, you're out of, and somebody, there's another thing to it. They have to have the password.
Oh.
They have to get the password, right? Now, if they're able to break through the security and do all that, because they have the phone, and it's on a wallet on your phone, you're kind of shit out of luck. If you're on an exchange, it's different because you can just straight up switch the password once the phone's stolen, right? You can just walk to another device, do it like that. Cold storage, they have to steal it and then unlock and do, they have to crack the device. Cold storage is a bit different though, in the sense that if the device is destroyed, right, the password to get it back is in your head.
Yes.
Well, not entirely true.
Okay, understand. How soon do you see third world countries using digital currency?
It's already happening in Ethiopia right now with Cardano, with the digitization of their schooling system. It was just adopted.
Okay.
Not even a month ago.
And longer than that.
If Cardano is successful in Africa.
Yes.
Right? That is the biggest game changer to everybody who is not, whose documentation is not documented, whose assets are not valued, right? That is a big game changer in that continent. Africa is the wealthiest continent.
Yeah.
And it is the most overexploited. Because the reason why it is overexploited, because there is no documentation of what's there. If you don't have it on paper, was it there? But that's how the world operates. Right?
Yeah. What advice do you have for someone who is just now looking at getting into crypto?
If you're trying to get into crypto, I would say, if you know someone who's into crypto, that's perfect. If you don't know, you can try and find, as well as you can search on the internet. However, be extremely careful, because crypto is an unregulated market, and it is globally unregulated, as it were. It is very easy to get scammed and your money just lost. And it's a real shame. And you have to really, any exchange that asks you for money up front, like, don't trust it. When I first started to, like, when I had my first crypto account, I was lucky enough that I ended up going on to a decent exchange that I was able to open the account and just leave it there, alright? And I eventually put money in, started playing around with it, and I was never really paying attention to it. And when I was looking around trying to get into crypto, like, I was looking around and I came across a few exchanges, and, like, some of them were, like, really, really pushy. Those are the ones that you gotta watch out for, being pushy and all this other stuff. And, like, one of these ones that were, okay, so I'm gonna give you a little story here. So one of these that were, like, super pushy to me, right? I told them, it's like, yeah, I have some money in crypto and I just kind of want to move it over to the exchange because I kind of want to get more money out of it, right? And I just kind of want to see how, like, your platform is. And the person agreed, is like, oh, we'll put 300 into your account just to show you how it is and all this other stuff, and you can watch the money grow, and if, like, the 300 is to do with what you will, and all this other stuff. So, I decided to take a look at this. I was extremely cautious. The first thing I tried to do is I tried to pull that 300 that they said that they gave me out. That's the first thing I tried to do. Why? Because I wanted to see if, one, if there was public and private keys that there was access to, how the withdrawal and everything works. But the moment I initialized that withdrawal, there was nothing there. And, like, their representatives would be calling me and, like, oh, try this, and, like, with the account. And the second time that they called me, right? And, like, this is when, like, they're really trying to, like, push it. Like, you know, when it's a bit scammy, like, if you're getting into cryptocurrency, right, and you just try to put your toe in into wherever it is you're going, and you pull your toe out, and they come after you, asking for a bunch of information, like, hounding you like a dog, stay away. That's how you lose your money. The moment they come chasing you, like, that's a good reason to stay away. Because, like, I saw it, right? And the second time that they called me, right? I haven't gone through, I'm now going through this. Yeah. The second time that they called me, the person was saying, it's like, sir, how do you expect to make money if you don't put money into the exchange? It's like, I tell him, it's like, so when I hit the refresh button here, why is it populating $300, and then I hit the withdraw, it populates to zero, and then moving it, it doesn't show anything, and I hit it again, it will populate it. It's like, didn't you guys say that it, like, that you credited this for me to see how it is? It's like, there's another website review with a two-letter name change at the very end that has nothing but horrible reviews. Is there a coincidence? So the moment, like, at that point I was kind of trolling them, and I already had that other wallet that I had set up before that I completely forgot about.
Oh.
So, like I said, I was kind of lucky in the sense that I was cautious, right?
Yes.
Being cautious is your best ally. And anytime that it's being overly pushy and other things like that, you're gonna lose your money. I'm more than willing to help anybody who wants to navigate the crypto space, and I want to. I would say anybody who's navigating it, do your research.
Of course.
If you can, if you have a phone, you can open up the, you can open up the store, you can look up crypto exchange, and you can see, like, how the apps are reviewed. You could start there with your research. Look at the reviews on the apps in the store, where people are constantly, where there are so many views. Like, you can look at wherever you end up looking, look at the reviews. That's my advice.
Okay. Me15 minutes over time. Do you have any last words for our audience tonight?
The last words I have is God bless, keep safe. When it comes to advice in the crypto space, take your time, do your research, and like if you can't see all what's in front of you, stay away. Try and find some help with somebody who is in the space already, to help you out. Don't be too pressured.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Bailey, for taking this time to spend with us tonight, and thank you, audience, for your time. I know this has been of quite the lengthy episode, but we've come to the end, and like I always say, don't forget to keep smiling, keep your shoes on, keep walking. Good night, everybody.